Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the 13th episode of the 18th topic. We have been discussing the isnad of the 7 canonical readings, and in the previous episodes we have been discussing the isnad of Abdullah ibn Amir, who is the 7th and final canonical reader chosen by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid in the 3rd century. In the previous episode I had discussed the critique of Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabri on the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir, who he is supposed to have acquired from his teacher Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and who himself has supposed to have acquired it from Usman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. I had discussed the critique of Ibn Jarir Tabri, who had actually said that it is not proven and not validated that this has a sound chain, and he had actually raised three primary objections on this isnad, and I had summarized those objections, and then I had gone on to also summarize the response given to these three objections by famous scholars like As-Sakhawi, At-Thani, and Az-Zahabi. They had endeavored to answer the objections of Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir Tabri as well. Today I am now going to take up my own response and my own view of Abu Ja'far's critique and the response which his points have entailed by our worthy scholars, and I shall take them up one by one. So let me first start off with the very first point of critique. If you recall, the first point of critique of Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir Tabri was that no one claims that he has learnt the Quran from Usman, and Usman does not have any student in this regard whom he taught the Quran. This is the claim which was made by Ibn Jarir. And then it was responded to by Sakhawi, Ad-Dani, and Az-Zahabi. In particular, Ad-Dani had actually cited narratives which, in his opinion, clearly showed that there are at least three students who have been reported in history from whom people who had learned and acquired the Quran from Usman. And they were Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulumi, Zayd ibn Hubaysh, and Abu al-Aswad al-Duwali. So he had actually cited these narratives, and through these narratives he had actually posited the fact that Ibn Jarir is incorrect in saying that there is no person who has read out from Usman or learned the Quran from Usman. I am now going to comment on this critique by Abu Ja'far and the response by Ad-Dani. In my personal opinion, Abu Ja'far's critique still holds valid, because the narratives which Dani has cited to establish or to validate the fact that there were other students like these three, Abu al-Aswad, Zayd ibn Hubaysh, and Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, all the narratives which have been cited to show that these three had acquired the Quran or learned the Quran from Usman, they are not reliable, and I'm going to just show how they are not reliable by presenting the critique on the chains of narration of these narratives. So let me start off by the very first narrative in this regard, and the first narrative actually relates to Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, and he has actually, from him we have three narratives. There are three narratives which tell us that Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami had acquired the Quran from Usman. I've already presented those narratives before you in my previous episode. They can be looked up. But as far as the chains of narration of these three narratives are concerned, which relate to Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, I'm now going to present my critique before you. So as far as the first of these narratives is concerned, you can see that its schematic illustration is being displayed before you. Now, let me point out that there is no tawseek available on Ali ibn Ahmad ibn Hatim. You can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. There is no tawseek available on him, and hence he cannot be relied upon, and we have to consign him to the majhul category. Though we know that Ibn al-Jazari, he mentions him in his Ghayatul Nihaya. However, Zahabi in his Marifat al-Qurra al-Kibar does not even mention him. So even though his mention is there in Ghayatul Nihaya, but there is no tawseek available anywhere regarding his reliability. The second person who is suspect in this chain of narration is Harun ibn Hatim. He is a suspect narrator, and you can see that his name is being indicated. Abu Hatim Abu Hatim is, of course, the father of Ibn Abi Hatim, who is the author of Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. So both Abu Hatim and Abu Zura had stopped narrating from him. And when Abu Hatim was actually asked that why had he stopped narrating from Harun ibn Hatim, he said, "I seek God's peace." Which, of course, is a very severe remark on the personality of Harun ibn Hatim. And in the opinion of Imam Nasai, he is a laysa bishay. So this is the problem as far as the personality of Harun ibn Hatim is concerned. The third problem in this regard is the personality of Muhammad ibn Aban ibn Salih. You can see that he is also being displayed in the chart before you and indicated by a red arrow. Ibn Hajar records that Abu Dawud and Yahya ibn Ma'in regard him to be Za'if. Al-Bukhari regards him to be Laysa bil-Kawi. In the opinion of An-Nasai, he is Laysa bi-Sikha. Ibn Habban regards him to be Za'if. Abu Hatim says about him, Laysa huwa bi-Qawil hadith, yuktabu hadithuhu al-Majaz, wala yuhtajju bihi. So this is a detailed comment by him in this regard. Ibn Habban has recorded him in his Al-Majruheen, and of course when we know that Ibn Habban records someone in his Al-Majruheen, then that person is someone who is really Majruh, because Ibn Habban is quite slack in his standards of regarding someone to be among the unreliable narrators. And he has also said, Kana mimman yuqallibu al-akhbar walahu wahmul kaseer fil asar. So he was a person who would just mingle up narratives, and he had a lot of, he would forget a lot also in reporting. So this is as far as the first chain of narration is concerned. And as I said, I'm discussing the narrative, the first narrative, which tells us that Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami had learned the Quran from Usman. Let me now move on to the second chain of narration, which also says that Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami had acquired the Quran from Usman. And you can see that its chain of narration is being displayed before you. The problem with this chain of narration is the existence of Muhammad ibn Aban ibn Salih, who is also found here. I have just discussed the jar on him in the previous narrative, so therefore I'm not going to repeat it, and this actually makes this narrative unreliable as well. Now let me move on to the third chain of narration, or the third isnad, and this also discusses the fact that Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami was a student of Usman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. You can see that its schematic illustration is being displayed before you. The problem, first of all, here is the personality of Abu Umar Hafs ibn Sulaiman. He is a very suspect narrator, and I have already discussed the jar on him when I was discussing Asim ibn Ibn Najud, who as a narrator earlier on in some of the previous talks. So Hafs is a person who is extremely unreliable. He's called a Kazzab, and authorities have actually abandoned him. He's called Matrukul Hadith. And there's a detailed jar which I have already presented earlier on, and which actually severely impugns his personality as a transmitter. So this is as far as Hafs is concerned. Another point of concern here, viewers, is the existence of Abu Abdul Rahman ibn Waqid. So Ibn Adi records that he narrates manakir from trustworthy narrators and would steal narratives. Ibn Hajar's comments about him are Saduqun Yaglato. So although he's truthful, but he makes mistakes. Ibn al-Jawzi has mentioned him in his Al-Zurafa. So this is what we have about him. Now, as far as Abdullah ibn Isa ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla is concerned, you can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. Previously, we were discussing Abdul Rahman ibn Waqid. We are now discussing Abdullah ibn Isa ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. So Ali ibn Madini, this has been recorded by Zahabi in his Al-Mughni fi Zurafa. So Ali ibn Madini says he's Munkarul Hadith, and Andara Qutni says that he's Matrukul Hadith. These are extremely severe comments which have been recorded by Az-Zahabi in his Al-Mughni fi Zurafa. Also viewers of concern is the personality of Asim ibn Najud, who is also being displayed. He had a very weak memory. We have already discussed this perhaps, or if not, then I'm going to just detail out some of the facts about him. So Zahabi records, Yahya ibn Sa'id says that every person with the name of Asim that he has come across has a bad memory. An-Nasai says that he is not a memorizer. Ad-Darqutni says that there is something wrong with his memory. Ibn Sa'd says that he is trustworthy, though he makes a lot of errors in his narrations. Ibn Kharash says that there are strange things found in his narratives. Ibn Hajar records, Yaqub ibn Sufyan says that though he is trustworthy, his narratives contain discrepancies. Ibn Ulayya says that every person by the name of Asim has a weak memory. Ukhayli says that there is nothing negative about him except a bad memory. So we are entertaining the jar on Asim ibn Najud or Asim ibn Bahdala because of the fact that he is acting as a transmitter of information here. Although he is a person who is of grand nature in the eyes of our authorities vis-a-vis Qiraat, However, since here he is acting as a transmitter of information, so I am citing his jar on him. And to sum up, the primary jar on him is that he had a very, very bad memory. Another person of concern in this chain of narration and is being indicated by a red arrow is Atta ibn Sa'ib al-Saqafi. So Yahya ibn Ma'in has commented that he is Za'if just as Layth ibn Sulaym, and that everyone except Shu'bah and Sufyan who have narrated from him have narrated when he had a bad memory or his memory had become weak. And we can see that in this chain of narration we do not find Shu'bah or Sufyan. So therefore, again, this section of the, or this branch of this narrative also is not reliable. So viewers, this is as far as this third chain of narration is concerned, in which you have seen how Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami is reported to have learned the Quran from Osman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. But none of the three chains that we have discussed and none of the three narratives which have been presented by our authorities in support of the fact that Osman was a teacher to some of these people, they stand on reliable ground. So we cannot say with certainty that As-Sulami would have learned the Quran from Osman. As far as Azir ibn Hubaysh is concerned and Abu Aswad al-Duwali are concerned, the other two other people who have been reported as people who have learned the Quran from Osman, both these narratives have the same chain of narration, and they are weak because both of them are reported by a person and his name is Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad, who is not witness to the fact that Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab read out to Usman. Now, one can gauge this from the fact. How can one know this fact? One can gauge this from the fact, and since his teacher, Sulaym ibn Isa, who's also found in both these chains, died in 188 Hijra, Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad must have lived in the 2nd and 3rd century. So therefore, it is clear that he could not have been contemporaneous to what he is reporting. Also, viewers, of concern is the fact that there is no information available on the person of Ahmad ibn al-Hasan. So, again, we cannot regard him to be reliable. And in this regard, also of note is the fact that Sawada ibn Ali is regarded as Za'if by Ad-Darqutni. So, he is regarded to be Za'if by Ad-Darqutni. So, all in all, viewers, we can sum up the first point of critique in favor of Abu Ja'far al-Tabari. I would say when Abu Ja'far says that there is no evidence of anyone learning the Quran from Usman or reading out before him, then I would endorse his point of view, because the narratives which have been presented by other authorities, which in fact say that there were people like Abu Aswad al-Duwali and Zir ibn Hubaysh and Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami who were students of Usman, but none of these narratives can be reliably established. Now, let us take up the second point of critique with which Abu Ja'far al-Tabri had raised. Now, the criticism of Tabri was basically that Iraq ibn Khalid, who reports this fact that the chain of narration of Abdullah ibn Amr is that he has acquired the Quran from Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and he had acquired the Quran from Usman. He says that he is a majhul person. So, in this regard, as pointed out by Dani, the response given by Dani to him was that besides Hisham ibn Ammar, Abdullah ibn Zakwan also narrates from him. So, it is not that the fact that the only person, there's just one person who narrates from him, and that he is Hisham ibn Ammar, Iraq ibn Khalid, is not majhul. It is pointed out by Dani that besides Hisham ibn Ammar, another person who narrates from him is Abdullah ibn Zakwan. And in fact, Hafiz Mizzi has pointed out even more students of him who have reported. So in this capacity, we cannot regard him to be a majhul person. And these people who have been recorded by Hafiz Mizzi as students of Iraq ibn Khalid, they include Ahmad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Bakkar, Ar-Rabi ibn Sa'alib, he's the second person, then Muhammad ibn Zakwan, and then we have Muhammad ibn Wahab, and then in the fifth place we have Marwan ibn Muhammad, and finally in the sixth place we have Musa ibn Amir. So this critique of Tabri in this regard cannot be entertained, because he's not a majhul person. Iraq is not a majhul person. We have other people reporting from him besides Hisham ibn Ammar, and I have just named these people from him, and therefore in this regard Abu Ja'far Tabri's critique is not well grounded. But what is of importance here is that Iraq, although cannot be regarded as majhul, but here the problem is that Iraq himself is a person who is not reliable. So although there are more than one or two people who narrate from him, and therefore he cannot be consigned to the majhul category, but there is a problem in his own reliability. And let me just also give you some details regarding him. Although I have alluded these details earlier on as well regarding Iraq ibn Khalid, but because we are answering this criticism, I am just going to briefly repeat what I had already said in some of the previous episodes regarding the personality of Iraq ibn Khalid. So, according to Abu Hatim, Iraq ibn Khalid is Muztarib al-Hadith Laysa bil-Qawi. So, while recording this opinion from Abu Hatim, his son Ibn Abi Hatim in Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil has said that Iraq ibn Khalid is Muztarib al-Hadith Laysa bil-Qawi. And in the opinion of Ibn Habban, his words are Rubbama Aghraba wa Khalafa. Also, viewers, all his narratives about the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir are reported by Hisham ibn Ammar. So all the narratives of Iraq ibn Khalid have been reported by Hisham ibn Ammar, and who was stricken by a mad memory in his last years. Now, we cannot ascertain if those who heard from Hisham in these narratives, whether they heard him in the period when he had a sound memory or not. So the person who reports from him is Hisham ibn Ammar. And we cannot know whether the people who, because Hisham ibn Ammar had a bad memory, so therefore those people who report from Hisham ibn Ammar, it cannot be reliably ascertain in which was the period in which they reported from Hisham, whether it was the period in which he had a good memory or he had a bad memory. And the people who actually report from Hisham ibn Ammar are Ahmad ibn Anas ibn Malik al-Muqri, Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Bikr, Ibrahim ibn Abbad, Ahmad ibn al-Mu'alla, Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Baghindi, and Muhammad ibn al-Mu'afi. So these are the people who have reported this from Hisham ibn Ammar, but we cannot be certain whether this was the time when he was stricken with a sound memory or not, or whether he was inflicted by a bad memory. Now, Adani has also pointed out that besides the narrative of Iraq from Yahya ibn al-Haris, there exist other corroborating narratives in which others report the isnad of the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir. So besides Iraq, we find the fact that besides the narrative of Iraq from Yahya ibn al-Haris, there are others who report this from Yahya ibn al-Haris other than Iraq. And they include Walid ibn Muslim, Ayyub ibn Tamim, Suwaid ibn Abdul Aziz, and Hisham ibn al-Ghaz. And we have already discussed their narratives earlier on. Thus, according to Adani, Iraq is not alone in reporting the isnad of Abdullah ibn Amir. So, according to Adani, he's not the only person who reports this isnad. We have other people besides him who report this from Yahya ibn Haris. And in fact, Dani has actually missed out the name of Sadaqa ibn Khalid in this regard. But the problem views here is that although other people narrate besides Iraq, from Iraq narrating from Yahya ibn Haris, we have other people, and we've discussed this in the previous episodes, but none of these narratives that we had discussed earlier on are ones which are reliably established. All of them who report this narrative besides Iraq, like people like, they've just mentioned some of the people like Walid ibn Muslim and Ayyub ibn Tamim, Suwaid ibn Abdul Aziz, and Hisham ibn al-Ghaz, all of them, the narratives in which they figure, they are not reliably reported. Let me just very quickly go through these narratives in front of you so that you can see that and refresh in your mind that we have discussed these narratives, but none of these narratives are reliably established. I'm not going to read out the Arabic text before you, just a summary from the translation. So the furthest of them is from Ad-Dani and Jam al-Bayan. And as you can see in this narrative, you can see in the Arabic text of this narrative, the person who reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris is Ayyub ibn Tamim. So in this particular narrative, it is said, Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Bashir ibn Zakwan said, I read out the Quran to Ayyub ibn Tamim al-Qari, and Ayyub read it out to Yahya ibn al-Haris, and Yahya ibn al-Haris read it out to Abdullah ibn Amir. So this is just a brief recap of the first narrative, and we have already discussed this narrative, that it is not reliably established. As far as the second narrative in this regard is concerned, viewers, this is a narrative again in which Ayyub ibn Tamim is reporting from Yahya ibn al-Haris, and it has been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. Very briefly, the translation would say that Abu Amr Abdullah ibn Zakwan said, I read out the Quran to Ayyub ibn Thamim al-Qari, and he informed us that he read it out to Yahya ibn al-Haris, and that Yahya read it out to Abdullah ibn Amir, and that Abdullah ibn Amir read it out to someone who Ayyub ibn Thamim did not specify to me. So, and this goes on. We have already discussed this narrative, and we've already seen how these narratives are weak. Now, as far as the third narrative in this regard is concerned, this is also by Ayyub ibn Thamim. He reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris. We had seen how these three narratives contradict one another when they are viewed in totality, although all of them are reported by Ayyub ibn Thamim. Again, this narrative says that Abdullah ibn Zakwan says that I read out the Quran to Ayyub ibn Thamim al-Khari, and Ayyub said to me that I read it out to Yahya, and Yahya ibn Haris read it out to Abdullah ibn Amir, and Abdullah ibn Amir read it out to a person. So we have already discussed this narrative earlier on. The fourth narrative, viewers, has also been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami' al-Bayan. And here we again see that it is actually Ayyub ibn Thamim reporting from Yahya. And the simple translation would be that Yahya, Hisham ibn Ammar said, I read out to Ayyub ibn Thamim, and Ayyub read out to Yahya, and Yahya read out to Ibn Amir, and Ibn Amir read out to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. We had seen that this narrative too is not reliable. And then, viewers, we have Al-Walid ibn Muslim reporting this narrative from Yahya ibn al-Haris. This narrative is recorded by Dani in his Jami' al-Bayan. You can see very briefly the chain of narration and the text being displayed before you. It says that Hisham said, Al-Walid ibn Muslim narrated to us from Yahya ibn al-Haris, who reported from Abdullah ibn Amir that he read out the Quran to Usman. And then in the sixth place, viewers, we have another narrative from Ad-Dani. And in this, you can see the person who narrates from him again is Walid ibn Muslim. So Ishaq ibn Israel said, Al-Walid ibn Muslim narrated to us from Yahya ibn al-Haris that he read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Amir, and that he read it out to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. And that finally Mughira read it out to Usman ibn Affan. And then in the seventh place, viewers, we have again a narrative in which we have Ayyub ibn Thamim and Suwayb ibn Abdul Aziz reporting from Yahya. And this narrative, again, viewers, has been discussed in detail earlier on, and the flaws pointed out also. So, Ahmad ibn Yazid al-Halwani said, I asked Hisham ibn Ammar, can I narrate this qira'ah from you, from Ayyub who reports from Suwayd ibn Abdul Aziz, who reports from Yahya, who reports from Ibn Amir, and that Ibn Amir read out the Qur'an to Al-Mughira, and Al-Mughira read out to Usman. And then we have the detailed answer. And it is also narrated to him that we have other people who had said this, that later on, it is said to me by Ayyub that Suwayd, Sadqa, Hisham had also narrated from Yahya, from Abdullah ibn Amir. So we have some additional people as well reported at the end of this, which tell us that there were other people reporting from Yahya ibn Haris. Then another narrative, viewers, in this regard is the eighth narrative, and in fact, it has two variants, and it has been recorded by it has been recorded by Ibn Asakir. So the first of these narratives which have been reported in this regard is, as you can see, it's been displayed before you. And here it is actually Suwayd ibn Abdul Aziz who reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris. Very briefly, it says that Abu Bakr ibn Ahmad ibn al-Husayn ibn Mehran said, I read out to Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Mazid al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari said, I read out to Muhammad ibn Ishaq, and he from Ahmad ibn Yazid al-Halwani. Halwani said, I read out to Hisham ibn Ammar, and Hisham ibn Ammar told me that he read out to Ayyub ibn Thamim and to Suwayd ibn Abdul Aziz. So we have two people here who report from Yahya, and they are Suwayd ibn Abdul Aziz and Ayyub ibn Thamim. So we had already discussed this narrative earlier on, and we had found that it is also not sound. Then we had another narrative in this regard, viewers, which is also recorded by Ibn Asakir, or we can say he's the second variant of this narrative. And in this, we can see that basically it is Ayyub ibn Thamim who reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris. And very briefly, the translation would read that Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn al-Husayn said, on more than one occasion, I read out the Quran from the beginning to the end in Dimash to Ibn al-Akhram. Ibn al-Akhram said, I read out to Harun ibn Musa al-Akhfash, and al-Akhfash read out to Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Bashir ibn Zakwan. And Ibn Zakwan said, I read out to Ayyub ibn Thamim, and Ayyub told me that he read out to Yahya ibn al-Haris. So we have Ayyub ibn Thamim reporting this narrative from Yahya ibn al-Haris. And of course, the narrative says that Yahya said, I read out to Abdullah ibn Amir, and Ibn Amir read out to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and Al-Mughira read out to Usman. And we are seeing that this narrative of yours is also, which is something, some narrative which cannot be relied upon. And finally, we are the ninth in this category in this regard, is another narrative which is also recorded by Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Madinah al-Dimashq, and it is reported by Rasha Ibn Nuzayf. And in this particular narrative also we can see that basically it is Ayyub ibn Tamim who is reporting from Yahya ibn al-Haris. And very briefly says that Rasha ibn Nuzayf said, I read out the complete Quran to our teacher Ali ibn Dawud ibn Abdullah, and Ali ibn Dawud ibn Abdullah informed me that he read it out similarly to Ibn al-Akhram, and Ibn al-Akhram informed me that he read it out to Harun ibn Musa al-Akhfash, and Ibn al-Akhram further said that al-Akhfash read out to Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Bashir ibn Zakwan, and Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Bashir ibn Zakwan read out to Ayyub ibn Tamim. So here we come, Ayyub again, and Ayyub reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris that he read out to Abdullah ibn Amir, and Abdullah read out to Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and that then again we have al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab who is reporting from this narrative from Usman, or this reading from Usman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. So this is viewers, as far as the second point is concerned, when you can clearly see that the fact that Iraq ibn Khalid is majhul is not established, but the problem here is the personality of Iraq ibn Khalid himself. Although he's not majhul, but the fact is that he is a suspect narrator. And then we had other people also narrating from Yahya ibn al-Haris besides Hisham ibn Ammar, but all of them unfortunately have narrated weak reports regarding this reading. So I would say that in this particular reading as well, the view of Abu Ja'far al-Tabri, although he has negated this reading in the second point by saying that it is basically Iraq ibn Khalid's mashhul personality. So I would not say that it is this point is valid, but the real point of critique in this regard would be that Iraq ibn Khalid himself is a person who is not reliable, and then the other people who narrate from Yahya ibn al-Haris besides him have also this weakness present in them. So besides this narrative, we had also seen that there is another narrative which does not contain the person of Iraq ibn Khalid at all, and that is reported by Yazid ibn Abi Malik, and I had discussed this earlier on, and that narrative too was shown to have flaws. So therefore we can clearly see that this point also here is clearly established, that although Iraq ibn Khalid is not majhul, but there are problems in which in the narratives which he reports because of his own personality and because of the fact in some of the other people who report this narrative besides him from Yahya ibn al-Haris, these narratives are also not clearly established. Now, let's go on to the third point of critique in this regard, viewers. If you remember, the third point of critique of Tabri was that Abdullah ibn Amr does not ascribe his reading to any particular personality. He only says that the people of Syria were reading this recital. So he would say that the people of Syria had gathered on this recital, and he had never actually ascribed this reading to any personality. And in my own particular view, this narrative, which actually is from Abdul Hamid ibn Bakkar, it is soundly reported. And thus I would go along with what Tabri had said, that had there was someone whom he would have, who was actually his teacher, he would have taken pride in pointing out who his teacher was. He never pointed out any person. And all that he said was that this is the reading on which the people of Syria are gathered upon. So this is just shows that he had taken his reading from them, but he has not described or pinpointed any of his teachers. Had Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab been his teacher, or the fact that Al-Mughira was the person who learned from Usman, he would have clearly ascribed this, named these personalities, because this is always a means of pride for people to point out exceptional personalities amongst their teachers. So I would say that this particular fact is not established. And the third critique of Abu Ja'far al-Tabri is also valid, and the response given to it by Ad-Dani and As-Sakhawi earlier on by giving various interpretations of this narrative, in my opinion, they do not stand to the test of criticism, and hence Abu Ja'far's critique here is also well grounded. Also, viewers, this is further corroborated by the fact that Abu Tahir Abdul Wahid ibn Abi Hashim, who is a student of Ibn Mujahid, holds the same opinion like Tabari. So, Ibn Mujahid's student also has the same opinion as Abu Ja'far al-Tabari. He says that both al-Tabari and Ibn Mujahid have transmitted to him the weakness of the reading of Ibn Amir, and both of them are outstanding people of their times. So, both al-Tabari and Ibn Mujahid have transmitted to him the weakness of the reading of Ibn Amir. And he says that this weakness is evident from the words of his own teacher Ibn Mujahid, who is reported to have said, "Indeed, the reading of Ibn Amir has come to us from Syria." In other words, according to Abu Tahir, the above words of his teacher clearly show that the source of Ibn Amir's reading are the people of Syria and not any specific person. So, this is again something which goes in favor of the critique of Abu Ja'far al-Tabari, that a student of Ibn Mujahid, Abu Tahir, he also says that this is something which his own teacher had told him, and he had said that Abdullah ibn Amir's reading is from the people of Syria and not from any particular person. And viewers, it can thus be concluded that points, the various points of Abu Ja'far al-Tabari's critique, the first and third point are clearly very, very strong. Although the second point, in which he says that Iraq ibn Khalid is majhul, is not established, but since Iraq's narratives are weak per se, and since narratives other than Iraq, which report the isnad of Abdullah ibn Amir, have also shown to be weak, so we can see that the weakness of the second point of Abu Ja'far al-Tabari can be discounted in favor of an even more stronger critique on Iraq. So although the critique of Abu Ja'far on Iraq was the fact that he is majhul, but the facts that I have just presented before you tell us that Iraq's personality is impugned, and there's severe jarh on him, and there are other problems as well. So it is even more strongly established that narratives which have Iraq in them, they cannot be relied upon, and other narratives also have other problems which I have just pointed out. So, viewers, in the light of this, all these details about the teachers of Al-Mughira, about the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amir, we can see that it can be concluded that none of the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr can be established. Neither Abu Darda nor Usman, and the strongest contender in this regard, of course, was Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, whom we have just discussed, and in the light of the critique of Abu Ja'far al-Tabari as well, and my own critique earlier on, in which none of the narratives which report this isnad, in which we see Abdullah ibn Amr learning from Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab and he learning from Usman, none of them were established. So, now it may also be noted that Al-Mughira himself is a very little known person. So I am now going to just briefly end my talk here. Before I do so, I'm briefly going to present before you some more information about Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab himself. So according to a Zahabi, his father's name is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Mughira ibn Rabia ibn Amr ibn Makhzum, and that Al-Mughira died in 91 Hijra at the age of 90. Now let me just write before you or present before you what Zahabi has said. He says that Balagana annahu qara al-Quran ala Usman wa alayhi qara Abdullah ibn Amr al-Yahsubi wa ahsabuhu kana yaqra'u bi Dimashq fi dawlati Muawiya wa la yakadu yu'raf illa min qira'ati ibn Amir alayhi. So the news has reached us that he read out the Quran to Usman, and Abdullah ibn Amr has mentioned that he read out the Quran to him, and I think that he was a reciter in Damascus in the time of Muawiya. But he is not known in the time, but he is not known except for the fact that Ibn Amir read out to him. So Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, about him, a person as celebrated as Az-Zahabi has pointed this out. So Az-Zahabi, a person who is a master person in this particular skill, this particular discipline of qiraat, he has said that la yakadu yu'raf illa min qiraati ibn Amir ilayhi. So the only thing that we know about him is that he is the person, Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab is the person to whom Abdullah ibn Amr read out the Quran. Perhaps it is because of this that almost all Rijal sources are devoid of his biographical details. Almost all Rijal sources tell us, I can safely say that they do not tell us anything about Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. The only biographical notes found on him are in Ibn al-Jazri's Ghayatul Nihaya And Az-Zahabi's Ma'rifatul Qurra al-Kibar already referred to, but all they tell is that he is a person who is known through the fact that he was a person to whom Abdullah ibn Amr read out the Quran. So viewers, this brings us to an end vis-a-vis the detailed discussion that I have undertaken on the seventh and final reader, and he is Abdullah ibn Amr. You can see the chains of narration being displayed before you of his reading, he is regarded to be a student of Abu Darda, and through Al-Mughira, both being displayed before you. And these are the chains of narration which have been recorded in our books of Qiraat, but unfortunately none of these chains of narration, as we have seen, is established. So in a nutshell, I can say that the three teachers, which are claimed to be the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr, Asmar ibn Affan himself, Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and Abu Darda, none of these three teachers can be reliably established to be the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr, and therefore we have to regard his reading onwards from him to be munkata as well. So this brings us to a close to the to this discussion vis-a-vis the seven canonical readers and the readings that they to whom which are ascribed to them, and have yet seen that none of these readings can be called that they are mutawatir. It's a very far cry to call them mutawatir. All of them are ahad. This was already apparent in the way they are described in our Qiraat books, but I needed to go through these details to perhaps further highlight the fact that these are ahad, and perhaps the worst form of ahad, or the most low form of ahad, in which most of them are even munkata, and they do not go beyond that canonical reader. Inshallah, in the next couple of episodes, I shall take up some of the ancillary discussions on these canonical readings before we bring this topic to a close. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.